welcome to Take Notes. This is our podcast. It's about like carrying a notebook around in your pocket, but really what it means to carry a notebook around in your pocket. You know what I mean, Adam?
I know what you mean, Ted. I've been carrying a notebook around in my pocket. I just got back from Belize.
Your front pocket. Let's make sure that that's...
Yep, I've been carrying...
Front burner.
Yep, I've been carrying a notebook around in my pocket, my front pocket. I just took a week-long trip to Belize.
So it was the front pocket of your swimsuit is what I'm hearing from.
I didn't know I didn't swim. It was more of a cultural journey for me. I got on the boat, but I didn't get in the water. Uh-huh. Yep. No. I saw the
ruins.
That's
funny. Yeah. It's funny because I just got back from a week-long trip to Belize. I didn't see you. I didn't see you at the airport or on the boat.
I did not do a lot of the touristy things.
I didn't see you at the ruins.
I think this is like a silly little joke of yours that because I went to Belize, you're going to say that you went to Belize. And now people are going to think we went to Belize together when I'm just trying to talk about my trip to Belize.
Who are they going to believe? Because obviously if we didn't see each other, then one of us did go and one of us didn't go.
I don't think they're going to Belize you. Now,
if you had actually been to Belize, you would not be doing this to the audience right
now. I'm not offended. This is Belizean culture.
How were the ruins? What were they? What peoples were they?
Well, I don't want to insult the peoples by mispronouncing. Yeah. There's an X in there. But I can't pronounce it. I went to
nobody tour guide didn't say it out loud or anything.
I mean, I think he said Zuna Tunique, but I screwed it up. And then after that, we went to the Belize Zoo, the Iguana Conservation Project, Shark Ray Alley.
I actually know for a fact that there are a lot of iguanas there because I was there just very recently.
Okay,
saw a lot of iguanas.
I'll give you went to Belize. Okay. Sure. Yep.
Thank you. Our family. One of our favorite topics of conversation is the fact that we decided that iguanas are the squirrels of Belize.
I got something in my notebook about squirrels, and it's true.
Okay, read it.
And this wasn't my what do you got, because I thought it might be too gross. Warning. My son Wiley often sees squirrels carrying dead mice out from under the school's dumpster. Because I spotted it the other day, and I told him, and he said, oh yeah, I see that all the time.
Not only is that sort of gross, it just in and of itself and raises a lot of questions, it hits on the theme of the weird lives that our kids leave without us, and then kind of only mention in certain... I mean, if you hadn't seen that squirrel carrying that dead mouse and never brought it up, you never would have known that that was a part of his life.
Right. And he may have never had to really stop and think about it until I brought it up.
Yeah. When I was in Belize, I saw from behind the dumpster an iguana came out with a little gecko in its mouth.
Hmm. Adorable.
That's not true.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you weren't in Belize. I know. That's fine.
Right.
Now, Ted, while you weren't in Belize, did you write anything in your notebook? What do you got?
I did. I was in, a lot of airport time, which is always rife for notes.
Wait, were you actually in Belize?
I actually was in Belize, Yeah, I was. Okay. Coming from the bathroom stall, someone talking on the phone in the airport bathroom. My homegirl's going to decorate his bedroom. I heard that. Well, I was... on the way back, in the airport on the way back, saw a guy. It was crowded, Belizean airports. You know what those are like, Adam. Just a little smaller than your typical airport. You can kind of see everything that's going on.
Birds in the terminal often.
Flight starts to board. Everything, scuttlebutt kicks up. Older guy, tourist got his... sort of convertible pants that he can unzipper into shorts. Pushing open the door to the men's bathroom, saying, "Tom, we gotta go. We gotta go, Tom. Come on. All right, Tom, we're gonna go on." I never found out what happened to Tom. I hope he made the flight. I hope Tom made it. Did you write down anything else, Adam? Did you have spring break?
No, I went to Belize for business, okay. But my spring break's next week. Okay. I did write down a couple things. I've written down, this month I am taking part in an online seminar about the Rings of Saturn, the Sebald book. So we read Sebald book together a month ago, and then it turned out the New York Review of Books was doing this 4-week seminar on his like masterpiece. And I'm not going to talk about the book, but the experience of being in this class. Now there are I don't know.
Did it begin already?
Yes. So I've done 3 of the classes. There's one more left. Wow. And it's fantastic. And just a thing about me, I have always it's been very hard for me to deal with Q&A at book readings or anything, sure. Really. Sure. It's feels very I cringe. I can't. I've had to walk out of some. And it's about me, because even if I were to ask a question, I would cringe at myself too.
It's not about you. It's about the questions.
Well, okay. Now,
quote unquote questions, as my son would say.
What I have learned about mostly in this seminar is about how to be okay with all of that. And I mean it actually in a very positive way, the questions and handling that, because I see it being taken care of, and it's very good. Now, having said that, many very sweet older ladies in this class,
let me pause you. What's the setup?
Is this: there's a certain number of people who are allowed to pay extra to ask questions in the last 30 to 45 minutes of the hour and a half. Is questions, and the first 30 minutes is a lecture by David Mendelsohn, who's an editor for the New York Review of Books. And it's very well done. But then there's the questions, and when the questions came on the first time, I went, oh dear, I just remembered that this is very difficult for me. But it really wasn't. And many of the questions are interesting, some are not. The lecturer, David Mendelsohn, finds a way to make them interesting, and we'll get into that a little later in the conversation. But one of the very first questions I heard was from one of the many sweet older ladies in the class who identified with Sebald's not being able to shut off his brain because of the PTSD of the Holocaust. And she said, it's just like when someone can't shut off their brain during sex.
She paid extra so that she could, quote, ask that question, unquote.
There's a lot of that going on. Yeah. So, yeah, that was in a way kind of how it all kicked off. And then I believe he said, thank you for always coming at these things from the way that you come from them. Come at them.
Stop it.
Yep.
Stop it. Stop.
What do you got?
Okay, we were in Belize, and there's an amazing kind of staple in Belize. It's chickens, kind of a spiced chicken breast, and then potato salad and rice and beans, usually with a little maybe coconut rice. So this great kind of meal, you know, standard meal of Belize. You can get it anywhere. You and my 9-year-old son, we were doing something, I don't know, end of the day, ripped a big burp, says to me, oh, wow, that tasted like the traditional meal of Belize.
Is that just the stewed... It's the traditional meal of Belize. The stewed chicken.
Something like that, yeah. There you go.
That's great.
Oh, you got Chat GPT sitting up right there. You just peppering it with questions.
I'm just checking my Belize notebook.
Did you pay extra for the privilege of asking Chat GPT about Belize?
It's like you can't shut your brain off during Belize, you know?
Sure.
All right.
You got anything else?
Yeah, I got one other thing from the from the session that genuinely I felt learned a lot, took a lot away from this particular thing. And I guess before I get into this kind of magic phrase that I learned during the lecture, I'll just give you an update on, I don't know if you remember my other favorite magic phrase lately, I have a good one, which is the secret of youth. You wish somebody, you tell somebody to have a good one instead of have a good day or have a good weekend. And you just, you're young, they're young. It's great. I'm starting to drop it into conversation a little more naturally. Always get a little smile from my wife when she catches me doing it, because she knows what I'm doing and she knows how much I'm thinking about it when I say it. But anyways, I've got a new one from this class, because when there is a difficult or very interesting non-question question, the lecturer really, he truly handles it really well, and he finds a way to elevate the discussion, and not even elevate it. I mean, I think he really finds a way to take what they're saying and really connect it to the text in a way that maybe they haven't done. And what he says most of the time is, you raise a good point. And then he kind of jumps to maybe the way he would say that, or the way that he actually thinks about that thing. But he says to people, you raise a good point. And I caught him doing it over and over again. And I think there's some genuine sincerity in that. I imagine you have to go at it from, okay, what is the part of this thing that they're saying that I want to talk about? And I think sometimes it's probably very easy for him, and maybe sometimes it's a bit of a jump. But I genuinely felt like this is something I can use in my life, in my work. You raise a good point. Well,
the subtle move there is that you're raising the point, which is not... is somehow raising is maybe different than making.
Mm-hmm.
You make a good point.
Yes.
You raise a good point. You have brought... I mean, he does call it a good point, which he's claiming the point is good. But by raising it, you're sort of... thank you for introducing this this topic into the circle for discussion, and I will now discuss it. But then in discussing it, he makes it better.
That's
I
right.
Like that. And that is infinitely better than the insufferable but thing that everybody does, which is, that is a really good question.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Really good question, which means I'm sitting here trying to think of an answer, and I'm going to flatter you a little bit while I do that. So kudos to him for not deploying that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm hoping to be able to deploy it as well as he does. I mean, I imagine it's going to take some practice, but I think I will have opportunities to do it. And
is that a workplace? Can you use that in the workplace?
I think so. I mean, I genuinely believe that's a powerful thing to learn in the workplace.
Adam, the toilets are backed up. There's sewage all over the they're all over the floor. It's out of control. What should we do?
You raise a good point. Have you ever listened to any the Ringer podcasts? Like any of the Bill Simmons podcasts?
I dabble here and there. I can't stand the sound of Bill Simmons' voice, but I like all the other folks that they've got over there.
Right. And maybe sometimes you listen to a Simmons podcast or another Ringer podcast because they have great guests.
Yes.
So the other day, Wesley Morris was a guest on one of them, and he had to respond. This was the day after my first lecture. He had to respond to one of the hosts, you raise a good point. So he's learned the lesson, too.
It's an action.
What do you got?
Well, I was at I was driving down the street and passed the AT&T store near my neighborhood, and the AT&T store had a big sign up that said, we're moving to 1462 Kirby. And I thought to myself, who cares where the AT&T store is moving to, and who is making a note of that specific address in order to visit them in their new location? Who?
That's right. I didn't know they existed. I mean, I understand that they must, but... I can't remember having seen one. They must be we must drive past them constantly, but it's like a camouflage of suburbia
or
something.
Who that works there is so, I don't know, has any sense of time and space to
customer loyalty.
To think about the future or the past. Right. I feel like you walk in the doors and it's just only the present moment exists in an AT&T store. There's no moving. There's no somewhere they'll be in the future. They just will be there, and that's where they'll be at that time.
Well, Ted, we are moving to Notebook of the Week.
All right.
You get it? Because, okay. This week's Notebook of the Week, which is something that we do every week on our weekly podcast.
It's our tried and true segment.
Yep. Is the
weekly, it's our weekly segment.
Yep. It's the Field Notes Flora Edition, just released in early March. And I happen to have them in my hands. The Postal Service was good to me. They have a abstract, floral-like, very colorful, spring-like painting on the cover.
Motif.
Yep. By an artist from Chicago named Emmy Star Brown. They're beautiful. Like, they're striking, I think. One is lined, one is dot grid, one is blank. I'll definitely use one of them. No, I mean, I'll probably use all of them. Probably find a way to use all of them. They're gorgeous. I will say that the one thing that I was particularly interested in from the description was the varnish that was going to make a subtle difference in the, not the texture, but the appearance of the cover image, like that there was going to be a variation on the cover. And you can see that, I can see it on the back cover in one corner of one. But that is, as we talked about, I don't want to put words into anyone's mouth, but as we talked about in a text message, maybe the word subtle that they put there is doing a lot of work in the description.
Is it like little patches, here and there?
Yeah. It seems quite subtle to me. Now,
does it seem like even worthwhile that they bothered with that?
I don't know. And I think other people might have a different impression. But I don't think this is a criticism at all. But I think that maybe they sort of marketed it too well. Because I noticed, you know, online on Field Nuts, when I posted a picture of these, the first thing somebody said was, hey, what is the deal with this? How cool is that varnish? And I was like, well, I'm not sure. I was looking for the same thing. I don't really see that. I don't mean to get off on a negative start. Maybe it was just like, I don't know, maybe we'll arrange it in the editing a little differently or something. I mean, probably not. But, I love these notebooks. They're really sharp. They're beautiful. They're like the, I don't know, foiled again was great. But they're very striking. And I think they have, they've done a really nice job with them. There's something brilliant about this art that is just bright. I think they were going for bright and welcoming. There was even something about it sort of being about the optimism of spring, and they have really captured that.
That's nice. I mean, it just looks like a nice design by a good, solid artist.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think you could define a theme other than a artist made these cool covers.
Well, they're the Flora edition, so I mean, they're supposed to be floral and spring-like and.
Fair, and they do. Did you receive a packet of wildflower sleeves?
I did get a packet of wildflower sleeves. A packet and of wildflower sleeves.
How was the varnish on that packet?
Yeah, I feel like a jerk even mentioning it, but I just, I want to, like, someone did ask me right away, and so I just feel like that's maybe a natural question about that varnish. I don't mean to be a hater at all.
When I see a great piece of art, if I go to a museum or something, what I'm really concerned about is the state of the varnish.
It's true. Well, did you go to the Museum of Varnish in Belize? Belize City, Belize?
Yeah, I did. Did you?
I founded it.
Iguanas there, right?
Yeah. Right? There were a lot of iguanas outside the. Yeah, in this series, here we are. This is the serious part of the show where we review notebooks and talk about the notebooks you can get. And we're just going to do a little sidetrack to an imaginary museum in the city of Belize. The Belize City, Belize. Yeah. So, I don't know. What did you think about these other than, art?
I think they look delightful. It was enjoyable to dig into Emmy Star Brown's portfolio and kind of see what her modus operandi is and how these fit in there. And I think she's got a certain vision, and she's a, I think leapfrogs between commercial design, illustration, fine art, whatever, you know, phrase. So I think it, that's a, to me, that's a really good fit for what this is, which is a cool design and a usable product that looks really nice. And I don't, there's nothing I'm reading into it too deeply. It just looks like a really nice design that I'll probably grab when I go over to Drum Ghouls over in the Rice Village here in Houston, Texas.
Nice. Well, so that's our notebook of the week.
The staples look nice.
You know, I forgot all about the staples.
You know, last week you were very excited about the staples in your notebook of the week. What do you feel about the staples in your notebook in the week this week?
They're good.
Okay.
I think my color blindness may be affecting my appreciation for the staples. And maybe the varnish.
To be a deeper red. Was the varnish on the staples?
I've got a lot of theories on this varnish. I think most of the varnish on the front cover is the Field Notes logo, and then there's more varnish variation on the back covers. I just wanted to say varnish variation. The Field Notes also has a new box. You know, they change out their subscription box every year, and this is another example in partnering with a really awesome artist. This box looks beautiful. So I know it's kind of a ridiculous thing to say, but Jenna Blazevich is the artist for the new Field Notes box. And, like, you know, hurrah to Field Notes for partnering with these Chicago artists. And I guess I don't know that she's a Chicago artist. I'm assuming that she is. And these are beautiful notebooks. But, you know, if we didn't have varnish questions, what would we say other than they're beautiful? You know?
That's true. That's fair. Good. I could say I wish they were all three ruled, but I would feel selfish if I said that.
Yeah. I've started sketching again, so maybe I will. I mean, not well, but maybe I will use this blank one. I mean, maybe the rule should be every blank notebook we should all have to sketch in. I am using a Pentel sign pen because it may have been a dream, but I think I saw Austin Kleon write something about it, that he was really into them lately, and so I just bought a box for $12.
Pentel sign pen.
The Pentel sign pen.
Big chunky guy.
Yep. Big. Well, yeah. It's a lot like a. In a way, it's like a Papermate with a longer nib. Yeah, I did see him say something about it, and they look great. They're cool pens. I'm having a lot of fun with them. I'm writing big with them, and
I'm looking at this, and it says it's a 2 millimeter.
It might be.
That's
I don't
a
know.
Big one.
Yeah, this, I mean, I, I'm not looks, sure if I've got a 2 millimeter.
Got it. Okay. It looks to me like a really nice, simple, cool-looking design. Almost a pen equivalent of, like, their nice mechanical pencils that have the super simple design that I really like. I might have to check these out.
Yeah. It looks like they've got... They also, like, when they ship in a box that looks like they made too many boxes in the 1960s is great. The Pentel sign pen.
That's for banking.
You think
they want you to sign? They want you to sign some checks with this thing.
Okay, yeah. Is it?
That's a check sign. I'm just based on the aesthetics. And
yeah,
the,
2 millimeter.
The name of it is the sign pen, so it's not like I'm stretching too far away here, but.
It's you're right. It's 2 millimeter tip, which gives approximately a 1 millimeter line width.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we're doing some math too.
I've been using the Uni Style Fit, which is I've mentioned it, but this is it's a 0.5 millimeter pen, so it's not the skinniest point, but the barrel is very trim. It's almost like just barely larger than the refill, with a nice clickiness and a transparent kind of bottom quarter. It's just a fun looking little pen, and the word that keeps coming up in my head as I use it is scrimshaw. Like it feels like I'm like using some sort of tool to like carve, even as I'm writing on paper. I just feel like I'm holding this narrow, like like a dentist pick, and I'm like carving into something, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Is it a clear body?
The bottom quarter of it is clear, so okay. the refill's yeah. very, you know, it brings a lot of attention to the refill in a kind of a fun way, but it's uni, so it's great quality too.
Nice.
It's a fun pen. I've got these before. I got this one from Jet Pens recently. The blue black is a very nice color. It's a fun pen. It's got no clip, so it's incredibly annoying to navigate and put in one's pocket. It's going to lay down flat, which you know, creates like a sail with a mast kind of effect for your front shirt pocket, kind of going to really catch the wind with that when it falls over flat. So beware and be wary. But that's a good pen. Awesome notebook of the week segment. Yeah. Check.
All right. You're back from Belize. You're busy. I know that. I've been busy as well, regardless of whether or not I've been to Belize before. I've been very busy. I did that by mistake. I've been very busy. And I downloaded some app that I kept seeing. Didn't even download an app. I signed up for a thing that I kept seeing an ad for. That looked pretty good. And I don't even know if it's good, but at the moment I'm paying for it. And it's this website, it's Motion. It's like a task management thing in your Motion calendar. And I don't know, you can just look up like Motion task management. They say it's AI. I don't know that it's AI. And I can't believe I'm paying for the thing because though it is worth what I'm paying for, it shouldn't cost that much. But what this thing does is it syncs with your calendar, and anything you need to do that's unscheduled, you create a task of a certain amount of time, and it just slams it on your calendar wherever it wants. You've got some control and stuff like that, and you can change it up. You can have it only give you tasks at different times. It'll do booking appointments and stuff like that too if you want, and it does it pretty well. But the thing is that it does is if you don't check the thing off, just like shuffles stuff up like an hour
and
later
moves it. And so it's I'm just looking at it, it's a to-do list that's inherently connected to your calendar.
That's right.
Fascinating.
And it's
interesting,
you know. So I guess so then, like, if you were to tell somebody about this, they'd probably say, well, why don't you just like keep a list of things you're gonna do, which is, you know, I do that. I'm sure you do that.
Yes. Well trod territory.
Yes. And it's kind of ridiculous to do this thing. But the benefit of it, I think it's kind of ridiculous. But the benefit of it is that it just does find a way to, when you don't do it, it doesn't get buried at the bottom of the list or on the previous page or anything like that. It stays in front of you and it keeps saying
but it makes another appointment for you to do the thing. That's the idea, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It puts it at a different day and time for you to do the same to do.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't clog up your actual calendar. You open up this website and it shows you your actual calendar plus all these tasks you could do and when you might do them.
I mean, that's an interesting take on the to-do list idea.
Yeah, it is. I've been doing it for maybe a week and a half now. There was a 1 week free trial. And I think with any of these things, what will happen is at some point it stops being novel. So you just kind of forget about it, or you get in a way too busy to even put the stuff there sometimes. Yeah, you know, that sort of thing happens to me. I've used different things like this before. I've done plenty of different paper methods as well, which I think all make a lot of sense. But that's what I'm doing right now. And it just reminded me of it's interesting to have a non-paper replacement for the to-do list.
Is your relationship to the tasks presented in calendar form, does that change it? Do you get to 2 p.m. and you look at your Motion calendar and you're like, oh, I was going to write that email to Frank about the exploding toilets on floor 6, and now it's on my calendar, so I guess I'll actually do it.
Yeah, I think what it's really good at is not letting the little things fall through the cracks. And then if... You know, the other thing that I do at times is I have a to-do list that I'm only let myself put 10 things on. And those are like the most important things. And so if you can kind of balance that, and if you're okay to just be like, you know, this is not time for the small tasks. It doesn't matter when this website tells me to do the small tasks. Right now it's time to, you know, take on one of the bigger things.
But it'll, as you say, it'll bounce the small task forward.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that idea. It's kind of a, I mean, we all need someone to sit on our shoulder and be like, hey, did you finish that little thing yet?
Right. And the other thing that I've found that I think is, so I, you know, I think there's a couple important things. First off, I don't care how much I can save on the annual subscription. I'm not doing the annual subscription because that's how they get you. And I think that's just an important thing to know in life. It goes back to, you know, metaphorically, don't get into a line you can't get out of. You know, there's some spiritual echo with that. But the other thing that I think that, you know, you kind of learn from this is that everything that, and this is something, you know, that I know, but it's useful to have something remind me of this, which is that the thing that you think is going to take an hour is maybe just going to take 15 minutes and you should just get it done, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, although I will say this, what I, you know, just as often the thing that you think will take 10 minutes might take an hour and a half.
Yep. Yep.
How does your AI motion assistant navigate that particular situation?
Oh, if you start it and you haven't, well, you just check something off when you're done with it. If you want to just do half of it, it's got a feature called chunks.
Let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say?
Let me just check my calendar. Yep. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Good. You can check us out on the internet at takenote.space. When you get there, you can sign up for our newsletter. Builds on the themes that we talk about here, books, movies, notebooks, apps.
App of the week. App of the week.
You can also support us on Patreon over there. For those who already do, really, really appreciate it. Means a lot. Keeps us free of ads. We're never going to have ads. We're too lazy. Let's be honest. But it supports us in this endeavor that we enjoy so much. And makes both of us really happy that you enjoy it enough to support it. So thank you for that. Shout out to Project 3.18 by Paul Jackson on Substack. Baseball history, baseball stories, weird stories. He wrote one recently about people flying over Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium and the 70s and dropping sacks of flour onto the field that could have killed somebody if it hit them. Go check it out. Fascinating stories from a good friend, a very good friend. I can't go wrong. In the meantime, take care.